Oh, come on. How many of you saw your kids in that video? Let me see your hands. There you go. Wow. Like kids eating a marshmallow or waiting to eat a marshmallow, we wait all the time. We wait in line at the grocery store, at the bank. We've waited for the time to open our gifts at Christmas. Sometimes for a physical healing, maybe there's an accident or a surgery that we've been through, and we wait and we wait till we are healed. How about at a traffic light? Traffic lights are not my favorite. What I don't like about traffic lights is when you pull up and you're waiting and waiting and waiting, and then that person pulls up and the light turns green and you get to go through, and I'm thinking to myself, well, they didn't get to wait as long as I waited. But waiting. How many of you like to wait? Let me see your hands. How many of you are impatient? Let me see your hands. Okay, there we go. Oh, good. This message is for you. So good, because I've been living with it for 2 months, so I'm glad for you to hear it today. How about in the dermatologist's office, the waiting room there, or waiting room for the doctor or the dentist? There's waiting rooms. Life is full of waiting. Now, nothing says waiting like a green banana. Now, where are the people that eat green bananas? Put your hands down. You're not part of the illustration, okay? Because the green banana to me says wait. It says wait because you want it to be yellow, and this one's starting to turn on me. You want it to be yellow, and then what do you do when the banana gets to this point and it looks just like this? What do you do with it? Yell it out. You get rid of it, you throw it away, it's trash. In fact, my son gave me this because I forgot to get it out of the freezer. I did not realize how mushy bananas are. And that is one mushy banana. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. What do you do with that mushy banana? All right, where are my kids at? Sixth grade and down. Let me see your hands. Sixth grade and down. Let me see your hands. All right, there you are. Okay. Uncle Gary has one more Christmas gift for you today. Are you ready? All right. You have some rules, though. Here are the rules. Number one, you have to wait to eat it until you're off campus. That doesn't mean out the doors. You cannot eat this until you are maybe on Western Row or Mason Montgomery. Number two, you cannot hit anybody with it. Okay? Your dad, your crazy uncle, your mom, your loved one, your guardian, especially your sister. Okay? And number three, I need you to hold on to this gift because throughout the message, I'm gonna use it and I'm gonna ask you to do some things with the gift. All right, here is the gift. Remember, don't open it, don't eat it until after you're off campus. So to my left, to my right, to your left, to your right, I have a stand of bananas, and I need all my kids to stand up, come down, grab yourself a banana, take it back. Now, kids, you get one banana. Keep coming, keep coming. You get one banana. Parents, loved ones, guardians, grandparents, if your child walks back with two bananas, you get to walk the walk of shame and bring that banana back. Okay, so they get one banana, take it back. There's a seat if you would. In fact, we have enough bananas. Do we have any college students in here? Where are my college students? You're home for the holidays. Come on down and get a banana if you're in college or even in high school. If you want to get one, you're in high school, you can get one. There you go. Grab a banana. Every kid loves a banana. Remember your rules with the bananas. There you go. I don't want to leave the high school kids out. You know, waiting is difficult. Waiting can be challenging. And sometimes in life, we need things like a banana, like a green banana, to remind us to wait. The idea with the illustration is when you see that green banana, most of us, not all, but most of us wait until it turns yellow, until it's ready to be eaten. Because we are impatient, because it is tough to wait, we do need things that remind us to wait. All right, kids, where are the bananas? Hold them up. Let me see your bananas. Okay, very good. All right, put them down. Very good. In her book, Satisfy My Thirsty Soul, Linda Dillo says this: the Hebrew word for wait means to twist, or it means to stretch, and includes the idea of the tension of enduring. It means to look forward with confident hope. So in that waiting, the difficult thing sometimes that we have or don't have is the hope that's in front of us. So it means to look forward with confident hope. And in that waiting, we need to put on that blanket of hope, because hope is what will get us through. Hope is what will get you to what is next. Hope will get you to the next step. It means to look forward with confident hope to that which is good and that which is beneficial. Now, today, let me read the challenge of the day is this. In God's waiting room, yes, your doctor, your dentist, your dermatologist, you know, in line at Kroger, all those times, traffic light, all those times we have to wait, God has a waiting room. But you see, in that waiting room, we can trust him with what's next. You can trust him with what's next. Even when life is uncertain, we can trust him with what's next in that waiting room because he keeps his promises and because God is faithful. So question, do you find yourself in God's waiting room today? Do you find yourself in that waiting room? Fill in the blank for you what you are waiting for. Again, in God's waiting room, we can trust him with next, even when life is uncertain, because he keeps his promises and he is faithful. And with all that in mind, let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. If you would take out your Bibles, you can take out your device or you can look on the screen. And I want to read the first few verses here together. Luke 2, 22 through verse 38. And when the time came for purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So you have Mary and Joseph. Scene one, you have Mary and Joseph and their newborn son, Jesus. So what I want you kids to do with the banana is I want you to take the banana and I want you to put it in your arms and I want you to hold it just like a baby. You got it there? You want to hold it just like a baby because we have Mary and Joseph in the scene here. Mary and Joseph just had, they had Jesus. And Christmas Eve, Pastor Stephen talked about Mary and the trials she went through, and she was trusting God with next. She was uncertain about some things with her son, but the truth is, that's what happens when we have children. We have babies and we look at them and we're uncertain, sometimes about their health, sometimes about their future, sometimes about people that are around. Now, just recently in the Angstead household, we have had the distinct privilege of having a baby. On October 17th of this year, my daughter, Beth, gave birth to Clark Elliott. This is the first time I've spoken in public as a grandfather. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Now, I want to say to you, his name is Clark Elliott. When you think of the name Clark, I want you to think of Clark Kent, not who, Bill? Clark Griswold. Do not think of Clark Griswold. You see in verse 22, in uncertain times, having that baby, traveling for Jesus to be born, now traveling up to Jerusalem to go to the temple. Jesus is in his mother and father's loving arms. Things are uncertain. We're not sure exactly what his future is all about. We're not even sure, Mary and Joseph, who this child is completely. We sing that song during the Christmas time, Mary, did you know? Did Mary and Joseph really know who Jesus was? Or did God the Father wait to reveal that to them when they got in the temple? We're not really sure. But in uncertain times, Mary and Joseph trusted God with next by their obedience. You see, they were in God's waiting room with God's son in their arms, and they stepped into God's waiting room, and inside of that waiting room, they were obedient. It says in here that they went up. You see, parents have a tremendous influence on our kids, loved ones, guardians, grandparents. We have tremendous influence on our kids. And our obedience to what God wants us to do influences our kids. It influences our kids. The question I have for all of us today, all of us, nobody exempt, what type of faith are kids seeing in you? You see, we need to let our kids see us running after God. We just sang a song a moment ago that talked about God running after us. And God's running after us. And I can just see God running towards us. And sometimes in our lives, we don't run towards him. We run away from God. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's you online today, and you happen to find Hope Church, and you just want to share with you that sometimes people run away from God. Is that you? How about you that are hearing the sound of my voice here in this room? Are you running away from God, and yet our pursuing God is running after you? Well, here's my challenge for you today. If you're running away from him, maybe take that pivot to turn around and see him running after him and take a dead sprint towards him and smack dab into him, just like a running back hits a line. Run smack dab into God. I have people in my life and in my family as I was growing up, they ran after God and some didn't. As a kid, you know, the ones that ran after God, that helped me grow. And when our kids see you running after God, they see your faith. They see you running after the life that God has in his word and we promote here at Hope Church. It helps their faith grow. My question is, well, how do we do that? How do we do that? How are we adults? How are we with kids in our lives, adults, that how can we help kids grow? In verse 22, it says, in uncertain times, Mary and Joseph trusted God with next because of this little word that's in verse 22, and it's the word written. You see, Mary and Joseph in their young lives knew God's word. So you're gathered here today and you're young. You're the one. Let me see the banana. Where's my bananas? Hold up your bananas. Man, you guys are young. I want to say to all of you with bananas, know God's word. You that are in college, know God's word. You that are young adults and young married, know God's word. You that are middle-aged and growing up and you're older than 80 or 90 or 100, know God's word. That's how they were faithful. That's how that Mary and Joseph stepped into God's waiting room. That's how they could trust God with next, because they knew the heart of God, because they knew his word. And in verse 24, hear this. In uncertain times, Mary and Joseph trusted God with next by giving what they had. You see, when they went to the temple, a sacrifice was required. Mary and Joseph could not afford a lamb. So they brought two turtle doves and two young pigeons. What the Spirit showed me this week is that our Savior, and yes, our Savior, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one that we worship, the one that we study, the one that we want to grow to love and adore, our Savior was a baby. And he was a baby that was born into poverty. He was a baby born to parents that didn't have much. And so what I want to say to you as Hope Church is we do our best to restore those that find themselves in brokenness, that find themselves in material poverty. That we, because our Savior was born into poverty and lived in poverty, we do not despise those that find themselves that are poor. But yet we as Hope Church, where you work, where you live, where you play, and your family and your communities, we would love those that find themselves in poverty. We would welcome them. And listen to this key word, with wisdom, we would care for those that find themselves in material poverty. Our Savior was born into poverty. So Mary and Joseph were obedient. Mary and Joseph knew God's word. They could trust God with next because they followed him in obedience by giving all that they had. And now we move into scene number two. Look at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. And we're going to stop there. You see, Simeon was in God's waiting room. Old Testament to New Testament, 700 years of waiting. Oh, and waiting. It's almost like having the marshmallow in front of you. You're waiting. It's like having the green banana. You're waiting. You're waiting for what's next. God had said, now things are getting uncertain. It's so long. God said that he would send a redeemer. He would send a savior. Simeon finds his whole life waiting for God's redeemer. He was in God's waiting room, waiting in faith for God to do what he promised to do. And that was to send the consolation of Israel. But the question we have to ask ourselves as we think about Simeon in that waiting room is, what did he do? What was he doing while he was waiting in there? Kids, take your banana if you would. Put it up to your temple and scratch your forehead here a little bit like, what did he do? Because we're wondering. Well, it says in the scripture that he ran after righteousness. He was one that ran after righteousness. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. He wanted to be a righteous man. He wanted to influence others. He wanted to live his life right. He started working on his character. He was dedicated to the Lord. He knew the Lord. He trusted the Lord. He was sitting in God's waiting room. He was waiting for the Redeemer. He pursued righteousness. He was dedicated to the Lord. The other thing that he did that we talked about so much here at Hope Church is he was following the Holy Spirit. We'll see three times in this scripture where he was after the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him. You see, because people in touch with God's heart, which, by the way, let's go back to that waiting room and God has you in there. Regardless of whatever you're waiting for, physical healing, and maybe it's a job offer, maybe it's a test score, who knows what it is. Maybe it's a relationship to be healed. Maybe it's a loved one to begin following Jesus. You're in that waiting room. A lot of times in that waiting room, we get in touch with our heart. We get sad about what we think about. We get sad about how it's affecting us mentally, emotionally, physically. But for Simeon, when he was in God's waiting room, he was in touch with God's heart. Often, the people that are in touch with God's heart often wait expectantly the completion of God's promises. So as you are in that waiting room, there's an expectancy of waiting for God to move. Here's the dramatic pause, because we're waiting. It's difficult, but in the difficulty, build character, pursue righteousness. In the difficulty, be dedicated to the Lord, serve him, get to know him, ask what he wants, know what his heart is in that waiting. Be expecting that God would move. Now, let me step back to who Simeon is here a little bit. He was well advanced in years. As they come back here to the banana illustration, we got the green banana, which is supposed to illustrate waiting until it's ripe so we can open that banana, put it on our oatmeal, put it on our ice cream. And yet we have well advanced in years. And yes, if you are well advanced in years, which I am one of them, got a big birthday this year, I am well advanced in years. And yes, this banana is smushy. And yes, I'm becoming a little smushy. What do we do with this? What do we do with that? We're well advanced in years. Well, you know, Simeon, even though it was late in life with him, he asked God to use him in ministry. Because the truth is, you can take this banana, it's not worthless. Somebody in the first service yelled out, "Throw it away. It's no good. Yuck." But you can take that banana, and somebody told me after the first service, you can take that banana and you can make banana bread, because the older it gets, the sweeter that banana gets when you take it out of the freezer. Anybody have any butter? Kids, would you like? No, just kidding. In verse 26, it said that the Holy Spirit revealed. Oh, I want to read that. Verse 26, and it had been revealed to him, Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I have here in my notes, what is the it for you? Because Simeon was going to see, it was now the next for him. He was in the waiting room waiting for the Savior. He was taking a step out of the waiting room to see the King of Kings and see the Lord of Lords. The Spirit of God told him that's what he would see. How about you? And you're waiting. What are you waiting for? What is that it that you're waiting for? Fill in the blank. What do you want to see? Do you want to see somebody physically healed, or maybe somebody saved, somebody begin to following Jesus Christ, or maybe they return to the church, or they return to a relationship that's with you? I know I've shared this, but I want to share it again, because my grandfather Angstead went to Penn State University. He graduated in 1929. I looked up on the big screen when we were playing, what was that first song? Somebody give me the first song. Great is thy faithfulness. It was written in 1932. After my grandfather Angstead got out of college, that song was written and that became his favorite song. And I kid you not, as a missions pastor, when I travel all over the world, when we go to church, I kid you not, every time we go there, they play that song. And tears just flow because of God's faithfulness. My grandfather Angstead ended up in a waiting room, waiting for my mom and my dad, who left and split up when I was two. He waited for them to come to know Jesus. And waited for them to come to know Jesus. And waited for them to come to know Jesus. And 1972 came. And he left the earth. He passed away. He never saw them come to know him. My guess is he celebrates somewhere, knowing that his son, his daughter-in-law, came to know him. Came to know Jesus. Simeon saw with his own eyes the long-expected Messiah come to the temple, and he welcomed him. Look what it said in verse 28. He took him in his arms, and he blessed him, and he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." Oh, my goodness. Babies. Again, kids, take the banana if you would. I want you to make a smiley face out of it. Put it up there to your face. Let me see your face. There it is, because Simeon is so happy. After all those years in the temple, Simeon was taking those babies coming in and going, "Is that him? That's not him. Is that him? That's not him. Is that him? That's not him. Is that him? That's not him." And finally, next was here. He saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the thing that he did when he saw him, he took him into his arms, because next was happening now. The day that people have been waiting for God to move, Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Simeon had seen God's Redeemer. And Simeon said in the scripture, "I'm okay if I die now. I'm okay if I die now." He is ready to die. Anyone who sees Jesus, his birth, his life, the cross, the resurrection, his rule and reign, expecting him to return, anybody who sees Jesus, knows Jesus, follows Jesus with eyes of faith, is prepared to die. How about you that are watching online, regardless of wherever you are on this planet? Do you know Jesus? Are you prepared to die to see him? How about you that are here listening to the sound of my voice? Do you know Jesus? Are you running away from him? Or have you turned around and you ran smack dab into him? He's changed your life. He's made all things new. Are you ready to die? Look at verses 31, or verse 30. "For my eyes have seen your salvation." You know, when you get out of a waiting room, the body gets healed, the son or daughter comes home, there's reconciliation in a relationship, next begins to happen, there is a pause, there is a moment. It is a moment. It's a moment that goes in a journal. It's a moment that's talked about. There is a moment there, and we see that in verse 30, time for a dramatic pause. "For my eyes have seen your salvation." The other day, I'm holding Clark Kent. It's time for me to leave my daughter's house. That little boy has grabbed my heart. Oh, man. My mom told me it's a different kind of love. And it is a different kind of love. He had just ate, so he was just chilling out in my arms. And I looked down at him, and I wanted to put him down or give him to his mom so I could leave. And he's staring at me. "My eyes have seen what I have waited for a long time. It's a moment that I don't want to end. It's a moment that I don't want to go by. I want to savor that moment. I want to hold that moment." Kids, take that banana and put it in your arms. Look at that banana. That true gift that I gave you today, that gift that you can eat this afternoon when you take off. I know it's not the same as a banana, as a baby, but "my eyes have seen your salvation." In verse 31, he says that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for the light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. God fulfills his promise. Salvation provided in Jesus. He is the light. For who? For all people. He is the light for all people. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Simeon, through the Holy Spirit, recognized and proclaimed God's global vision, Jesus as Messiah. He's the light to the Gentiles. And Isaiah 49 says, "I will make you a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Unbelievable. Kids, put the smile up one more time. Simeon's got to be smiling from ear to ear. Mary and Joseph got to be smiling from ear to ear because of what Jesus had come for. He was going to be the light, the salvation of the world. What did they know about that? What did they know about that? Man, our kids have done great things. Our kids in junior high, high school, maybe elementary school, they go off to college and then they graduate in grad school and then they do great things. And man, we're happy. We're blessed with what's going on. And then, of course, oftentimes they run into a tough spot. But before we get to the tough spot, we have to look at verse 33. Because Mary and Joseph were astonished and filled with wonder at Simeon's prophetic declaration, which spoke of Jesus' divine purpose. Mary, did you know what's up for that baby? Clark, we're gonna run and play. We're gonna climb trees. And when Pop falls out of a tree, will you be there for me? Will you call 911? Clark, what's your personality? Clark, what are you going to like? What are you going to dislike? What are you going to eat? What are we going to eat together? Are we going to get ice cream? What are you going to care about in school? What subjects? Will you know Jesus, Clark? Mary has to look at her child and be astonished at what Simeon is telling her. But look at verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed and a sword that will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Oh. Oh. The cross, the agony. The Messiah has come to die. You see, his coming will provoke divided responses, opposition, hostility towards God, running away from him. You see, we decide to follow Jesus or we decide to oppose him. The question I ask for you watching online, are you following Jesus or right now in your life, are you opposing him? You that are listening to the sound of my voice here, are you following Jesus or are you opposing him? What do you think of Jesus? What do you think of him? What is your response to him today? You see, in John 3:19, they loved darkness. They didn't love light. But what is your desire? What is your love? Do you love him? Do you care about him? Do you want to run after him? Do you want to worship him? Verse 35, the sword, the pain of a mother. And I have to admit to all of you, as I've studied this over the past couple months, this is the part, the whole holiday season, I couldn't keep it together. Thinking of that young child and that young mother, and we kept celebrating his birth, but yet his future for us to die, to be brutally beaten, to die on a cross for us. It is a pain to witness your son's rejection. That's what Mary had witnessed. Now let's look at the final few verses today. And there was a prophetess, Anna. She was advanced in years. Again, I want to remind you of the banana. Simeon was advanced in years. Anna was advanced in years. We had Mary and Joseph were young people coming to the temple, surrounding themselves with Simeon and with Anna. And I want to talk to everybody in the room that finds themselves in the age, in the time of life where, yes, you're the squishy banana. You're the squishy banana. You're getting older. The joints don't work the way they used to. Things are squishier. The truth is, it's not time to be thrown away. It's time for you, like Anna and like Simeon, to be used by God, to ask God what he wants you to do. Who does he want you to pour into? What does he want you to do here at Hope Church or outside of Hope Church? Who does he want you to reach out to, where you work, where you live, where you play? He wants you to be the banana bread of life. I want to say you're not worthless. I remember in my life, there were two older gentlemen who are no longer with us. They passed away. But both of them at different times looked at me and said, I am worthless. And I didn't say this, but I could have. You know, you are an old squishy banana, but you're not worthless. We can make banana bread out of you. So I want to encourage those that are older. She was advanced in years, possibly over 100 years old. By the way, I want to say this before I forget. My mother-in-law, who lives in Michigan, we just spent some time with her. She is 97 years old. And she told me this the other day. There is a woman in her church that is 100 years old. And the other week, this 100-year-old gave her life to Jesus. Because God keeps his promises, because God is faithful, God ran after her for 100 years. That's amazing. That's amazing. And here's Anna, possibly 100 years old, devoted to God's work. She was a prophetess. She spoke God's word. She waited in sincere faith for God, for the Savior to come. And while she waited, while she was in God's waiting room, waiting for next, there's a couple things that she did. Well, one thing she did after she was out of the waiting room. Well, while in the waiting room, she was serving God, devoted to God, wanted to know God, wanted to hear from God, knew God's word, was ministering to other people. But as she stepped out of the waiting room because she met the Savior King, she was grateful. And no matter what you're waiting for, as you turn around and you look at that waiting room, a son has come home, a relationship has been reconciled, a body has been healed, maybe something happened in your life that was something you've waited for years. And God said, no, wait. One of the proper responses as we step out of that waiting room and look back was Anna, where she was grateful. She had gratitude. And the other thing that we see that Anna did inside it, once she got out of that waiting room, was she began to tell people. She began to tell people about her Savior. You see, the followers of Jesus, the faithful Jesus followers, are to move into mission and to go and to tell. Who do you relate to today? Who do you relate with? Mary and Joseph, young, knows God's word, waited to see what the Savior would do in his life. Maybe you relate to Simeon. Maybe you're at the stage of life where you're that squishy banana, but you got to believe that God can make banana bread out of you. God can still use you. You're valuable in God's kingdom. Maybe it's Anna. Maybe you relate to her because inside of God's waiting room, one of the things I didn't mention, but I'll say now, is that she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And maybe some of you join me as a man of my age waiting. And prayer is part of it. Prayer is part of it. Let's pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to reread the challenge to you today. Heads bowed and eyes closed. In God's waiting room, we can trust him with next. Even when life is uncertain, because he keeps his promises and he is faithful. Are you in God's waiting room? Can you find in your heart to trust him with next, even when life is uncertain? Even if you say, Lord, I wouldn't do it that way, can you trust him because he keeps his promises and he is faithful? Father in heaven, we are grateful for who you are. We thank you so much for your son coming to this earth, dying on a cross, was buried and rose again. Lord, I pray that you would help us to know your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to no matter what stage of life, be willing to be used by you, be willing to be to serve you, to serve others. And Lord, as we come to this table this morning, I pray that you would remind us of your death, burial, and resurrection. And Father, I also pray that you would remind us of our brothers and sisters around our country and around the world that come to the same table often. As we take it, may we be reminded of the body of Christ, the global body of Christ. But more importantly, Lord, may we be reminded of you. On the night that Jesus was betrayed,